throughout biblical history and worldly history, it's sad to see that man has taken upon himself to change, alter, and distort the things that God has instructed, what he has set in place, what he has commanded, and what he has ordained. We see it today in the religious world around us, and we can see it as far back as creation. Each instance, we see various motives can be observed, from just sheer ignorance, deception, personal gain through power or wealth, or simply man being a pawn in the devil's scheme to cause division between him and his creator. Eve was deceived by Satan through crafty wording and fell prey to her innocence, but still disregarded the one commandment God had given. Abraham and Sarah, through their impatience, decided not to wait on God and take control of the promise. As smoke and clouds cloaked Sinai, God's voice like thunder gave the law, Aaron and the people fell prey to their desire for a tangible God made from their own hands. God instructed the people to destroy the inhabitants of Canaan as they entered the land so they would not fall victim to their idolatrous ways, but yet they fell short. Likewise, King Saul was disillusioned that God would be more pleased with what he desired to offer him instead of his simple obedience. Jeroboam had set a place for pagan worship in Israel to keep the people from traveling down to Jerusalem out of convenience, but in reality it was for his own selfish gain. There were consequences for each and every one of these instances of disobedience, some immediate, some took years to come back around. Ever since the Old Testament, God has been clear, although he takes great delight in burnt offerings, he takes greater delight in obedience. Now we live under the new covenant and things aren't much different. Men twist and distort the word of God. Sharp-tongued men rob people of God's truth regarding salvation. But we are here today because by the grace of God we have come to know the truth, and we were baptized into Christ and baptized into his death, according to Romans 6:3. Those of you that are gathered around his son's table this morning are here as his honored guest because you have had the blood of Christ applied to you. But much more than that, at salvation we entered into a union with God. And at this time we enter into communion with our God. Our relationship with our God is now based upon this union and our communion. And John chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus spoke seven words that describe this relationship that we should desire and strive to have and to keep. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Jesus goes on to describe our relationship with him, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and without a connection between the vine and the branches are nothing. Now, we don't use the word abide much these days, but we can replace the word abide with the word continue. In other words, Jesus said, "Continue in me, and I will continue in you." We can also use the word stay. Stay in me, and I will stay in you. We can use the word remain. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That was exactly the intentions of why God saw fit to give us the Lord's Supper, to aid us, to help us abide in him. We need that constant reminder, this time to stop, shut everything else out of our minds, and focus exclusively on Christ. For centuries, man has saw fit to try to remove the Lord's Supper or dwindle its importance. Some even cast it aside completely. Some hide it like it's something to be ashamed of. But we need the Lord's Supper in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual lives. And I tell you today that we cannot abide in him without it. As you break off a piece of this bread as it passes by you, think upon Jesus and how his body was broken and bruised for you. As you drink of the juice, think about how his blood was poured out for each and every one of our sins. If we don't commune with him regularly, how could we possibly abide in him and him in us? Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that you have given to us, Lord, that you saw fit, Lord, on the night before your betrayal to meet with your closest companions, God, to institute this time, Lord, that they can focus on you, God, and that the apostles saw fit to continue this tradition, Lord, and now today the church, your kingdom, is gathered around your son's table, Lord, to focus on him and his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, that brought us salvation, that brought us your grace and your mercy, Lord, and brought us forgiveness. We thank you, God, so much for your wisdom and knowing, Lord, that we need this time, that we can focus on him. We just ask you, Lord, to just be with us this day. Help us, Lord, to partake of these emblems, Lord, in a worthy manner. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name, amen.